Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into, excuse me, wow, oof.
Keep it in.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world. If my voice sounds like that, it's because Stanzik and I are churning these out at an alarming rate and probably an unhealthy one. Stupodity, please subscribe, rate, and review. You have made us the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. How about that? Bigger than The Last Dance. How about that? That is an amazing accomplishment by you guys. I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with it. It's all you. So keep doing it. Subscribe, rate, and review. Stanzik, what episode is this? I have no idea what day it is, what week it is, what month it is. I know you're married now. Congratulations on that. But I have no earthly idea where we are with this podcast because, as I mentioned earlier, we are churning these out at a rate that is probably unhealthy to both of us. It's crazy.
Yeah, we are somewhere in the 70s, early 70s, and if we wanted to, we could probably release 70 more of these tomorrow.
Yeah, we probably could. I saw South Beach Sessions release like their 40-something. I saw Mystery Crate release their 50th, and I started laughing at them. I mean, listen, we're in the 70s already. Let's go. And if I wanted to be, I'd be 1,000. I mean, that's where we'd be right now. I am very excited because Maria Taylor is going to join us. Two things about Maria Taylor, Stanzik. You're a big fan, obviously, right?
Huge, yeah. She is, I believe you put her in your top five rising stars at ESPN, and she might be at top of that list.
We'll have to let her know that she is. She is indeed on my top five. That is the one bit of good news that she has. I have another bit of good news for her as well. My top five rising stars at ESPN were Diana Rossini, were Laura Rutledge, Mina Kimes, it was Maria Taylor, and it was Mikey C. And after last week's episode of Stupodity Weekend Observations, I'm not certain Mikey C hasn't vaulted all the way up to number one. I mean,
smoke does rise to the top.
Well played. Yes, it does. I also, on the Levitard show earlier this week, I revealed in honor of what's going on with the Jordan docuseries, 10-part docuseries, and the Dream Team part of that docuseries, I released my media dream team, my sports media dream team. Oh, look at you. You just perked up, my friend. You like that, right?
I'm intrigued. Go on.
Let me give you a little example, okay? Like my point guard on my sports media. First off, the coach is Ernie Johnson. We agree. When you look over to the sidelines, you need to have someone who's credible, who's been around the block, who, you know, connotes confidence, never gets panicked, not nervous. That's what you want in a head coach. And I feel like Ernie Johnson's the perfect guy. Do you agree on that?
Love that.
Okay. Point guard, Mike Greenberg. Okay? Here's perfect. Why. Greeny doesn't really want to answer any of the difficult questions, but he is perfectly fine with distributing the questions for other people to answer those difficult questions. And no one is better at that than Mike Greenberg. What do you think?
I like, so far, 2 for 2. I'm very impressed.
All right. You want my two guard?
Sure.
Stephen A. Smith.
Of course.
He's never been a topic he doesn't like. I mean, never. Even if he knows nothing about it. And listen, here's the other thing. Short memory, Stanzik. I mean, he might be wrong 17 times, but the 18th time, he thinks he's right. And that's it. That's what you want, you know? You like this, don't you?
It's a hell of a team so far. I don't know how you're going to round it out, but so far, so good.
So I view the small forward as a do-it-all type person, okay? If you need this person to host a studio show, they can do it for you. If you need this person to do play-by-play in a way that's as good as anyone else out there, they can do it for you. Small forward's got to be versatile, offense, defense, just needs to know what the team needs on any given night. And Chris Fowler is the guy I go to as my small forward. How about that?
Yeah, okay. Fowler, yeah, he can do the play-by-play. He can do a studio. Yeah, pretty good. Versatile, I like it. He's a tennis.
Yeah. Feel free to change any of this. Power forward, okay? You need an enforcer, right? You need to have someone on your team that no one's going to mess with. And God forbid they mess with someone on your team. What is coming back your way is hell. I mean, that is a fury and hell. And with that being said, I could not think of a better power forward for the sports media dream team than Diana Rossini.
She brings some insider credentials too. I was going to point out you didn't have anyone on the insider beat but now you got Diana. It's very good.
I got Diana. And then I just figured Bulls dream team. I'm not really connecting the dots here because the Bulls and the dream team have nothing to do with one another, but just Weddington and Will Perdue. I'll keep that in there. Bill Weddington, all those guys. I just figured we needed a very tall white guy who's also very excellent at being a sports media member. And I went with Scott Van Pelt. that's where I went there. You love this team.
It's a good team. I'm curious though. You don't have any former athletes.
I don't want former athletes. Well, I do. I do. I have Maria Taylor off the bench. I mean, she's a former athlete. Okay.
All right.
So I want to replace, like, when I take Greeny out, I need someone else who can do the same exact thing.
Fowler. Fowler can kind of slide right into that role if Greeny goes to the bench.
I was thinking Reese Davis could as well,
Ooh, yeah.
I was thinking Reese Davis could also, if Greeny comes out, Reese goes in. Now, Reese might have an issue with that. I don't know, but,
Any thought to, an Adam Schefter who does NFL and NBA insider?
Yeah, no, I thought of Schefter. I do have Rossini there. Now, I do not have a two guard off the bench because Stephen A is not coming out. I don't want him to come out. And even if I did, he's not coming out. So no matter.
He's playing every game, every season, every minute.
Exactly right. And I don't want him out. I want the ball in his hands every time. Always. Greeny, you hear me? When you distribute to him. All right? And so then I have a small forward, right, to replace the versatile Chris Fowler. And so what I was thinking here was, all right, someone who could host a studio show, could do sidelines, could be part of a play-by-play team. I went with the great Doris Burke.
Very good.
You like
Very
that,
good, huh? Yeah.
And then someone off the bench for Rossini to muck it up. Not really an enforcer, but off the bench, muck it up, make everyone crazy, hair flowing everywhere. I went with PFT Commenter.
Very good as well. I'm thinking for that role, if you don't have this person as your backup center, I think it's a great person to add, also a former athlete. Give me Pat McAfee on my team and put him on my team right now.
All right, so crazy on the team?
Yeah.
All right, so listen, I only have four off the bench right now. I have Maria Taylor, I have Doris Burke, I have PFT Commenter, and you want Pat McAfee off the bench, so he's coming in for Van Pelt, right?
Oh yeah, or Rossini. He's kind of like a forward center hybrid.
Okay, so that's our nine. Do you want to have like a Christian Laettner, a guy who seems like he's kind of young and in college, maybe? Not there yet, but he's quickly arriving. Because I would go with Adam Lefko.
Oh, love Lefko. He's like another guy who can do the hosting duties. Yeah, he's like your third point guard almost.
Yeah, so Lefko is in there. Now, you want to fill this out. You want to find a spot for Schefter. What I'm interested in is who's the Isaiah Thomas of this team. Someone who clearly deserves to be on the team, but no one wants them around because they're annoying. I mean, is it Skip Bayless?
Jay Glazer?
Levitard? What do you think? It's got to be Levitard. I mean, I don't know. Maria Taylor is entering the Zoom room. Very exciting.
Stupidity!
All right, Maria Taylor is with us. We're very excited. You came in on a conversation Stanzik and I were having, and I think you'll be very pleased with the conversation. I hope that you're pleased with the conversation because there are two things you must know. They happen today. I'm not even certain you're aware that they happen, Maria, but my top five rising stars at ESPN, you're already there. You're already a star. People are going to get mad at me. I don't care, okay? My top five rising stars at ESPN were Mina Kimes, Diana Rossini, Laura Rutledge, you, Maria Taylor, and Mikey C. So congratulations to you. I mean, how about that?
Round of applause, please. Do I get a round of applause? You know what's funny about that list, though? Laura Rutledge and I have done everything together, literally everything. Like, we were on Get Up together. We were on SEC Network together. And so every time, like, a list comes out, we're together on the list, like any type of media thing. So that's my girl.
Have you ever been on a list with Mikey C, though? That is a big question. I mean, do you even know who Mikey C is? Let's start there. You know? Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect. Stantic, is that scale bad? Of 1 hey, to 10. 1 to 10. How heartbroken is Mikey C going to be that Maria Taylor has no idea who he is?
Oh, easy 10. Easy 10.
which made me revealing that list all the more worth it.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
So something else happened in honor of the 10-part docuseries that we're airing right now that has not only saved ESPN, Maria, but has saved humanity, okay? My dream team. I have a sports media dream team. And Stanzik and I were just discussing it before you came on. Congratulations, by the way. Spoiler alert, you made the dream team, okay?
Yes.
And Rutledge didn't. We love Laura, but you're honest, she's not.
Together. This isn't going to work.
She's going to be upset?
Yeah, she's going to be upset.
Well, I can tell you, here's what Rutledge got for her appearance on Stupidity. She got 4 Stupidity stickers, not for her, just to put them on the back wall when she's on SportsCenter. It was more a gift for me at Stanzik than it was for Laura Rutledge.
A commercial for you. Okay.
Yeah. You're starting to know me well. And you probably already knew that about me. And here's the other thing I said to Stanzik. I delivered on a promise. She got a banana bread with chocolate chips.
Wow.
Yeah.
We get food for being on here?
Well, Rutledge did. Listen, it depends
on your team, Maria. I mean, what do you want?
If you're not sending me tequila for showing up to this podcast, then I'm never coming back.
What is your tequila of choice?
Actually, can I humble brag real quick?
Yeah.
The other day I go and FedEx drops off a package and it's that like MJ tequila. It's a huge bottle of tequila. I wish that you were showing the podcast so you could see the picture. I would go get it and bring it up here. It's like bigger than my whole face.
Go get it anyways.
You want me to get it?
Yeah, we'll describe it. We'll describe it. This is great. So Laura Rutledge left us for a moment. She went to grab, what was it, like a deer
like
head?
Yeah.
Because her husband, Jeff Rutledge, former baseball player, thinks he's Rambo. I mean, the guy.
Is it Jeff?
I don't know. I hope it is.
I forgot already. Jeff, it didn't sound right when you said it, but maybe it is Jeff.
Well, listen, the card with the banana cake said Laura and Jeff, so I hope so.
Keep it in.
Regardless, keep it in. He thinks he's Rambo. He hunts with a bow and arrow. And so he's out of his mind. All right, so Maria has gotten
sent up. Man.
Oh, my God. That thing's bigger than a building. I mean. What? Okay, so what Maria just left the room to get, again, Laura Rutledge left and she came back with a deer's head. Maria Taylor left and she came back with the most beautiful bottle of tequila I've ever seen in my entire life.
That thing's bigger than the Stanley Cup.
Look at that. It has its own little coffin, like you're going to die.
Coffin. Wait, but so is it a beautiful black coffin? You're right. You open it up. It's a beautiful gold bottle of tequila. Where did you get that? Why do you have it? Are you going to start drinking it during this episode of Stupidity?
No, I'm waiting for the last episode of The Last Dance. I feel like that's what I'm going to drink.
Oh, nice.
But literally, remember MJ started making tequila with like 4 other NBA owners? And they sent it out. And I think it's like a Cinco thing. And they have like a little letter attached to it. So it's like, use a certain hashtag. They'll give money to Bartenders of America. So like all the bartenders that aren't working right now, they'll send $20 out if you tweet about it. And so I was cool. But I also just want to keep this as a trophy.
Right. You don't want to drink it.
Every time someone comes in and wins a drinking game, I'm like, you can hold this. Thank you.
Wait, so what is your tequila of choice? It's not that.
Usually I go with Patron of some sort.
Okay.
Or it's going to be some kind of, what's the Amigos one? What's the newest one?
Oh, Casamigos, the George Clooney one?
Yeah. Not Three Amigos, Casamigos.
Yeah. I think it is Casamigos. By the way, so you can see me. Visually, you can see me. A lot of people say I look like Clooney. You agree, right? I mean.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's distorted right now. It's really green. think your Wi-Fi is going out, but yeah, I was just thinking that to myself.
Stancic distorted in a way where I look exactly like Clooney, so I appreciate that, Stancic. So, Maria, the Dream Team, first off, Stancic loves it. Let me just explain it real quick. Okay. Because we're in a pandemic and because of the Bulls docuseries that's going on right now, I came up with the Sports Media Dream Team. Now, Mike Greenberg, Ernie Johnson's the coach. You would agree. You did the Ernie School, the EJ School of Journalism. So you and I, well, we have something in common. I mean, yeah. How about that?
EJ's the captain of my life. When I saw, yes, you know, the call from him, I was like, oh, whatever you need. Like, if I need to go outside right now and stay right in no mask in Walmart, I'll do it. Like, if that's what you told me to do, I would go do it for EJ.
Yes. I mean, and listen, so both of us were professors at the EJ School of Broadcasting. I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. Did you enjoy doing it?
I did. What was the craziest question you got asked? Did you get a weird question?
Oh, I mean, that's all I got was weird questions. Just me, my personality, the show that we do. It's like I had to filter through all the weird questions to get to the one or two legitimate questions that were thrown my way.
You're probably asking yourself your own questions. Like, I'm just going to say something that's relevant for students. I'm going to try to be a professor today.
I got to be honest with you. I swear I did that twice. What was the weirdest question you got during that? Here's what I have, because I'm old, right? Uh-huh. So it's Twitter Live. I couldn't slow down the questions. That was my problem.
All you had to do was scroll up. You could go backwards.
Yes, I didn't know.
All you had to do was scroll up or down.
I know. That would have been nice to know at the time I did it, you know?
I got are you married? Are you dating? Can we go on a date? And then I would just scroll past those. Right. That's what girls get. That's like our issue with doing anything live ever in life. That's going to be the problem.
There are so many women at ESPN, I don't think I've ever said this, that have taught me so much about what it is that you guys go through as women in broadcasting, mm-hmm, whether it's Sarah Spain and or Mina Kimes or Katie Nolan or Diana Rossini, Laura Rutledge, who have been, they really have had such a positive influence on me as a person, but they've also shed some light on what it is that you guys have to endure and go through. And what I have tried to tell them, easier said than done, granted, mm-hmm, is to ignore all of that. Ignore the criticism. They are strangers. They are people that you will never meet. And what I try to teach them on Twitter is scroll through all the negativity, scroll through all the animals out there, okay, and just find the positive ones and retweet those. Okay? It's an easier life, Maria.
I have it blocked so I can't even see people's Twitter comments unless I follow you or you're verified. You know, you can like filter out the comments or the right that you personally see. Yes. I literally do that. I don't have time for it. Okay. I really actually don't like Twitter at all. I love Instagram. If I could just only have Instagram, I would.
Okay. Well, I think the advantage, the key to Twitter is to turn it into your own newspaper, like, mm-hmm, determine what you want it to be. Just don't look at the mentions.
Don't ever look at the mentions. Right. And read the whole time.
That's it. And find the compliments. If you're going to go to the mention pool, just fish out the compliments only, okay?
Do you do Instagram?
I have an Instagram account. My show is on a constant daily basis asking me to do more Instagram. I only have time for so much of my life, Maria. I don't know.
You're too busy for Instagram?
I don't know. You're lazy.
You're not. You're
why? Not. So you like your preference, social media, is Instagram over Twitter?
Okay, so in my mind, Instagram is the more positive social media platform. Twitter's just like spewing hate at all times. I don't know where all these crazy mean people are. But on Instagram, they don't really exist. Or you wouldn't follow that person. You know,
right, probably
they don't really have to follow you to see you and make comments about you and all that stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
no, it makes
sense. They don't like go find you because you were on TV and be like, you're ugly.
All right, so they can't do that on Instagram? They cannot do that?
And I just think that it's too much, so they just don't.
Okay, that's fair. All right, but see, here's the thing, though. Unlike you, I understand why you wouldn't like Twitter. I don't care about the comments. I'm 47 years old. Like, I've already made it, and Dan and I have a good show, and I'm secure in who I am and what I am. I don't give a flying part of my French. I don't give a flying what anyone has to say about me, Maria. And when you arrive at that place, uh-huh, that's where you arrived at a really good place in sports media. Okay?
That's what I'm going to drink the entire bottle of when I hit there. So 47, you say it happens? That's when? Is that?
It actually happened to me about 3 years ago. I just stopped caring. I don't care. I realize they're strangers. Okay. I realized that they're just trying to get under my skin, and it just doesn't matter to me. But I'm not getting nearly what you guys are getting. I'm not getting, you guys are getting bad.
Yeah. People hate us. So, people hate women in sports. Next question.
You're funny. I am wondering, Maria, because you, and I'll get back to the dream team in a second. Congratulations on making, my top five at the dream team. Yeah. And I am, I will work on getting you a bottle of Patron tequila sent to your house.
You write it down.
I did write it down. Here, you want to see? Stanzik knows when I write it down. I'm serious.
Okay, just make
it. You see it, right? You see it?
I need to describe this piece of paper for the audience. Stugatz has a white piece of paper. On the top, it says, what is that, top J?
That is top five, to remind myself. Oh, top five. It looks like a Z. It could be a J, but it's a five.
Then it says Dream Team, and then the bottom right corner, it says tequila of choice. Yes. And then he wrote in Patron.
Right.
You're taking notes. I'm proud of you. You've come a long way.
This is good. That's your rundown. I love it. This is great.
This is it.
This is the classiest job with them. I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
We don't do much prep, Maria.
Prep? Well, we don't do any prep. Maria, I promise you, you're going to get more comments off of this than any college game day you've ever done, any sideline reporting. You're going to get more reaction out of this than anything you've ever done in your life. I promise you. Okay? I can't guarantee it's all going to be good. But it's going to be reaction nonetheless. Okay?
There will be reactions. Okay.
Yes. And a bottle of Patron is on on the way.
That's what I came for. So if we're being honest, I already won.
So I am wondering, Maria, where did you, when you first set out, you first started, you're in Atlanta, right? Right now. Mm-hmm. You're not going outside. Please tell me you're not going outside.
I mean, it's so nice outside.
I know. But
I just sit outside.
No, that's fine, but like your state's kind of opened up, right?
Yeah, right. I don't do all that. That's right. Too much.
What I've told my family is, I will not allow a politician to tell me and my family when it's safe to go back into the public. That I told my daughters, the politician you need to listen to is sitting right here in this house. I'll let you know when we can go back out.
It's your father. Yes. Press conference coming. Every day you hold your own press conference in the house. Like, everyone gather around. I got to tell you what's going on. There's still no vaccines, and you need to go back upstairs. Every day.
Yes, I'm going to start doing that, a daily press conference. Okay, it's actually a very good idea. Stanza, let's get all that.
I was thinking that.
And you're welcome. Like
yes. Listen, it's not like I'm asking my daughter to do anything they don't want to do. It's like, you know, hey, sit around, watch Netflix, and hang around on Instagram all day, you know? Mm-hmm.
TikTok,
yep, so, are they TikToking? My kids are desperately trying to get me to. Here's what my daughters have realized. Mm-hmm. Them getting dad involved on social media is a really, really good thing for them.
Exactly.
They've also realized I have twin daughters, Maria, who are 16 or sophomores in high school. They realized this about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, the boys really like daddy.
Oh, I figured it out. That is a great icebreaker if you're a 16-year-old girl. Those are some awkward times. But you're like, my dad's on ESPN. I don't have to say anything else. You're welcome. When are you taking me to the movies?
Exactly right. I am wondering, so you have arrived at an amazing place, and congratulations. You deserve it. You're excellent at what you do. Where did you imagine you would be? When you first started out, where did you imagine you would be? Where did you want to be at this phase of your career?
That's a great question, because when I started out, you know, I played volleyball and basketball in college. And so in my mind, the only thing I ever wanted to do was to make it to the national championship for women's basketball and like cover it, maybe be a sideline reporter on it. And the same thing for volleyball, like do sidelines at the national championship game and then be a color analyst, because that's how I got into TV. I was a color analyst for women's basketball, like the radio show that we did at Georgia. And my first time being on television was a volleyball match at Alabama. So I was like, I'll just be a color analyst for the rest of my life. I'll freelance. Like, when the seasons are here, I'll work. When they're not, I'll be sitting on the sidelines, and that's fine. Maybe teach on the side. So like, that was the goal. I never really saw doing football sidelines as my future. Like, I liked football. You go to Georgia, you go to the games, but sure. I didn't see that as like, that was my trajectory. Cause I didn't think that that was what I knew. You know
right.
what I
mean? Yeah. So that would have been perfectly fine. If it crescendoed and stayed kind of plateaued right there, you would have been fine and obviously succeeded everything so far. So.
Yeah. And it was maybe my third year of just working in general. So I was freelancing. I got an ESPN, the 330, like ABC ESPN game. So me and Danny Cannell and Bob Wischusen were all together for a season. And I swear to God, it's because Aaron Andrews left that year. And I got the call like in August. So say it was a super late call. I'm like, oh, y'all just needed somebody. Like she was gone. You had to figure out there's a spot open. Everyone shifted up and you slotted me in. And that was kind of like my beginning of football. Right. But I had some high school football in Georgia too. And that's the way that I kind of got in. But yeah, for me, women's athletics was it. It was like, all I want to do is cover women's basketball and volleyball or anything that concerns women's athletics. That's it.
So now it's turned into College Game Day and sideline reporting on the biggest college football game of the week with Chris and Kirk, and you're excellent at it, the NBA studio show. I mean, it's just amazing what has happened to you. When did you realize, hey, I'm a lot better at this than I thought I was going to be?
I don't know. There's usually, you know what the moment was? It sounds weird, but it's like I know, I recognize that I'm a unicorn. Like, we don't have a lot of black women in doing the jobs that I do. And so if you're like, if you're good at it and you've been around, then it's almost like you're going your path. I feel like my path has been accelerated. Like, I wouldn't lie or be joking with anyone if I said that, or everyone would believe me. And part of that is because of what I represent when I get to be on TV. Like, it's important that I'm there. It's important that we have diversity on our shows. And I get to represent that every single time that I'm on camera. And I'm okay with that. Like, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
No, it seems like you take a great amount of pride and enjoy carrying that. And you should, by the way. That's awesome.
Yeah. I tell people, it's like you could either decide that it is your superhero power or it's your kryptonite, or it's like you think it's the thing that's going to be the undoing of you. And for me, like, I feel like being a woman and being a minority are my superhero powers. Like, I want to harness them. I want to be great every single day. I want to represent that for the girl that's at home. I want to represent that for the kid that's in the inner city, like, and just do it for my family. You know what I mean? Like, my grandma couldn't go to the University of Georgia because she was black. So I went there. You know what I mean? Like, you get things that you know. And I grew up in the South. So, like, it's not all peaches and cream all the time. So I represent that. And I love that.
And that's important. And that, it was a great answer. An awesome answer. And I'm certain, does the family beam whenever they see Maria Taylor on television doing all this stuff?
Now they change the channel. They don't care. You know how I know though? My mom records everything and I'm like, if you were watching, you wouldn't have to record it or, you know, like go back and take a look. But that's how I know they're never actually watching. And they'll call after, like, oh, great show. I think they like rewind it. Watch the opening and then just go somewhere else. No one's watching anymore.
You're also everywhere, Maria. It's hard to watch all the shows and studio shows and games you're doing. I mean, it's got to be exhausting for people to watch. It's going to be more exhausting to be you.
Listen, my mom, so Mother's Day is coming up. My mom does everything for me. Like, she is my travel planner. She does all of my expense reporting, which y'all know is really hard. Like, that's that is a full-time job in itself. Mm-hmm. So, like, she's the one who, when I land in LA, I'm like, what hotel am I going to? Like, she knows more about where I'm going than anyone else. Like, the program coordinators for every single show reach out to my mom before they talk to me. So, that is a real thing.
Stanza, get mom on the show.
Yeah.
Get mom on the podcast.
Mom sent me the link and she was like, okay, you can log on.
Listen, all those are great reasons and important reasons, but I hope you know how damn good you are at this. Like, you realize that, right?
I mean, I guess.
What? What?
I don't know.
You make it look easy.
I just feel like it's, I don't even know. Sometimes I'm like, how did I get here? Like, I really don't know how this happened, or like, so many things have to work in your favor. You know it. Like, there's so many people that want to be doing what we do. And so to even have that one door crack open, or that one conversation work out, or that one email and they watched your resume tape. Like, I have so many stories of that. And then too, I mean, I auditioned at NBA TV. I auditioned at MLB Network, which I'm not a huge baseball fan. So I don't know why I did that. I auditioned at ESPN early in Bristol, and those were all no's. Like, every single time that I've auditioned for something, I've been told no, or I wasn't good enough. So it's interesting to be here now.
I've always told people, at least, and you're right, it takes, there's some luck involved getting into this business. And then once you make it, you latch on to these jobs with everything you have, because it doesn't feel like work. And for you, it has even more significance and importance because of some of the stuff that you're carrying, positive stuff, for minorities and women. And so it takes on even more importance for you. But I always tell people, the key to this industry is figuring out what you want to do early, right? Like, the one thing you want to do, because I meet too many people who come to me saying, hey, how do I get into this industry? I'm like, what do you want to do? They don't know if they want to be a play-by-play person, a studio host, a talk show host, a writer. They have no, and what I tell them is, hey, figure out the one thing that you want to do, master that one thing, get really good at it, and once you do, the other opportunities will come. Meaning, if you want to be a writer, set out to be the best writer you can, like Levitar did, and then radio and TV will come your way.
So the first thing that came to my head is, have you ever seen City Slickers?
Yeah.
Remember Curly was like, life is about one thing.
Yeah.
You got to figure out what that one thing is. Yes. You became Curly in my mind. And whoever has not seen that movie is like, what the hell is she talking about? It's a great movie. I don't know. I agree with you. But you know what I tell people too? Because a lot of young girls will come up to me and say, I just want to be a sideliner reporter. And I'm like, that's fine. But I hope that you're willing to do more than just that. Like, you learn how to host too and be a sideline reporter, because we've seen it where, you know, there's games where you don't even need to have one. Mark Jones can get up and go ask questions to the coaches too. Like, we've seen that happen over time. But you're right. A lot of people just want to be on TV. And so you do have to have the conversation of, what is your strength? What are you good at? Are you good at interviewing? Are you good at telling stories? Do you want to just have an opinion? And if so, can you write an opinion first before you could talk about it on TV? Like, how do you reconcile all those things that you're good at and turn them into a long career?
Where do you want this to go? Where do you want it to end up? Now that you've had so much success here, where would you like it to go?
I think I want to get more into, not behind the scenes, but if I could direct a documentary or be more in the content creation zone. I used to always say too, I would love to be the Oprah of sports. So like, could you imagine an afternoon show where you're just like interviewing people and like having fun, kind of like you do on your podcast, but
yes,
deal with athletes all the time. Instead of, we have no more arguing in the middle of the day. It's just like, we have an hour where it's just like, we're just gonna have fun. You're gonna come in. We're gonna have these conversations. We've taped them. We've gone on the road with people. This is their mom. This is the, and then SportsCenter.
I gotta tell you, there's a lane for that interview show. Okay. Because we all thought it was going to be Levitar in The Art of Conversation. That had a 2-episode run. So, I mean, you can have it. It's yours. You should go after that. Okay. Call it The Art of Conversation. Okay.
Like, call it that. It should be like the new rendition of it and see.
I picked up where Levitar failed. That's what it's called.
I love it.
All right, so dream job. Okay, I like that. That's a good idea. It's also my dream job. It's a you and I have a race to the dream job. Okay,
my money's at Maria.
So is mine.
Maybe preferably we're doing it with tequila or something. You know,
just like that. Maria Taylor is with us here on Stupidity, ESPN College Game Day, NBA Countdown. You can catch her everywhere at Maria Taylor on Twitter, even though she hates Twitter. What do you want on Instagram? What's your Instagram follow?
Maria Taylor. Same.
Okay, I've heard so same thing. College Game Day is something I'm obsessed with, and you're a big part of it. To me, there are two standout shows in our industry in terms of pre and post. It is College Game Day. It is the NBA on TNT. Your NBA show is great. Don't be offended. We know that's the gold standard, though, the NBA show on TNT and College Game Day. And what I marvel at, we've spoken to Reese, and we've had Felica on. Stanzik, we've had just about everyone with College Game Day, I think, right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, that's pretty much it. We haven't had Herb Street or Pollock or anybody. We just Malika and Reese.
With all due respect,
Rinaldi, to Pollock. We had Rinaldi. I'll give you that.
With all due respect to Pollock, I mean, if you want to book him, book him. And if you don't, I'm fine. Okay?
I got the real Georgia athlete now. We're good. We don't need
Right. Pollock. I got the real Georgia athlete now. Yeah. But I marvel at that show, the care that everyone has for one another. But more importantly, how much the guys and everyone affiliated with that show cares about Lee Corso. And to me, it is just such a warm, great feeling. And I'm wondering, can you kind of, from someone who's been on the inside of that show, but a big part of that show, what is it that makes that show so great and so unique?
You know, when I found out I was going to be a part of Game Day, literally the first call I got after the boss was Lee Corso. And so imagine like picking up your phone, it's just a Florida number, and it's like, hey, Maria, it's Coach. And I'm like, Coach? And then he talks a little bit longer. I'm like, oh, God, this is Coach Corso. And he's just calling to like congratulate you, and I'm so excited you're going to be on the show, and we're going to have so much fun, and you're going to love it. Like, that is the first person that you talk to. That's your introduction to the show. So you realize really quick that everyone who's on it, and it's been on for, what, 25 years or something ridiculous, they're really a family. Like, even all the camera guys, we've had camera guys that have been on the show just as long as Coach. You know, our audio guys have been there for decade. You know, like everyone who is on College Game Day understands that it's this super special project that, you know, it's kind of like a once in a lifetime thing. You never know if a show like that is really going to work, you know, and it just happened to work and it's grown into this massive thing that no one could have ever predicted it was going to be. And we all feel like we have to preserve it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I love the show. What is your favorite College Game Day site? Did you have one?
When we went to Washington State, that was something else. Because remember, we had never been to Wazoo. Mm-hmm. They right. always had their flag flying at every single College Game Day show we've ever done. And they were meeting the bus, Bobby the bus driver, at the state line. Like, lined with fans, basically all the way up to when he got to campus. And they, even at night, they would just have people out there waving flags. Like, they were taking turns, but there was always someone waving the flag where College Game Day was. And it was just, like, thousands and thousands of fans on Friday when we did our show. Saturday morning, and we didn't even get to stay for the game, but that was one of the best.
Do you marvel the way me and Stanzik do, and I think just about everyone does? Do you marvel at how much time Felica spends examining bets and gambling?
He's a computer. Like, you cannot tell me that he is not just like constantly ticking away. Like, we could probably be having a conversation, but he's calculating a betting line at the same time. Like, he knows things that no one else knows.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't believe some of the stuff that he knows sometimes. And I'm not good. Like, I don't understand any of it. I'm like, what is he talking about?
It's unbelievable. He once sent me a 14-player tennis parlay, okay? 14 players had to win a match. They all won.
You should listen to him. You should just do every bet that Bear sends in.
Oh, I do. Since that day, I do. Did you notice that they started to incorporate the bear sound after he would make his picks? Did you notice that eventually?
Yeah, like,
that was a result of him coming on this podcast, just so you know, okay?
Really?
Yes.
Well, I need something. I need a walk-up song or something. You need to invent something for me then.
Okay, fine. We're going to invent something. Rutledge has Stupidity stickers that she has to put on the back of when she's on SportsCenter. We gave the bear sound. Reese Davis actually said, where did that sound come from? Felica said, I listened to Stugatz, and Reese Davis said, your first mistake was listening to Stugatz. And so, but Reese said it lovingly, and I don't care as long as my name was mentioned on game day. That's all I care about.
There you go. Welcome to game day. You're a part of it now. You're a part of us.
Yeah, I'm a big part of it. They invited me out there. Reese has invited me on stage to be a part of it, and I desperately want to do it, but in traditional Stugatzian fashion, I get to take him up on the offer. So,
What school would you come to?
Where
you go? I wasn't going to his house.
Yeah, right. Yes. I'm waiting until Miami becomes relevant again.
Well, you missed it. We were there, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, and I was invited. I didn't show up. So.
Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon, now, is it?
No. Whoa! Shots fired! Oh! No, I will. This year, we've agreed, if we'll see what this year looks like, but. If there is indeed a season and we are still doing College Game Day, I will make it a point this year to get up to one of those sites, regardless of where it is. And I'm going to sit right on Felica's lap and he and I are going to make picks together. That has always been the idea.
You should curl up next to his feet like you're his little puppy or something, you know? You're in the bear's den, but you're like, you don't get a seat because it's the bear's den. So you can't really. You can be on the floor, though.
I like that. The Bears den. This is good. We're expanding. We're growing. Listen, Felica has no idea that we are growing his brand. So we need to come up with something for Maria Taylor. Do you want it for the NBA pregame show? Do you want it for sideline reporting? Do you want it for College Game Day?
You tell us. Universal? Like, should it be able to work for anything?
Stanzik, what do you think? We're going to have you back on, though, okay, to present you with a few ideas. That's mm-hmm. that's what we're going to have to do on the break.
You mentioned walk-up song. I'm thinking more of like something you could say at the front or end of every conversation, like a signature phrase.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, here's what we'll do. Stanzik and I will reconvene after these proceedings, okay? Mm-hmm. We will come up with a few ideas.
We'll have a press conference.
Yes.
Tonight before dinner.
And that will be after my daily press conference in the house that I deliver to my kids.
Yes.
And then we will have you back on, and we will present you with three or four options, and you choose the one that you are most comfortable with.
I like where this is headed.
What do you think college football is going to look like this year?
That's interesting. I really think that we will have a season, one, which I think everyone wants to know. Will we have a season? Absolutely. I think it might be delayed. So say we don't have, we were getting so used to these awesome preseason neutral site games that were huge and big. Maybe we don't have those because we have to move it back a little bit to maybe October. And obviously that depends on when the student athletes can be on campus. They have to be able to be there. They have to act. There's an acclimation period. You have to make sure that all of them have been to all their doctors. The freshmen still have to go through like their normal checks. They have to pass tests so that they can just be on the field. And until the schools open up, that's not possible. You know, normally they're there all summer. So I do think that we're going to have a delayed season. I don't know that we're going to have all of those great non-conference games. Those might have to be canceled. Maybe we're looking at a conference schedule only. Maybe we're looking at 8 games for everyone and championships. And I do think maybe we might be looking at having less people in the stands, but moving forward, I think football, at this point, it's like whatever sport can be played, let's play the game. Right. If we have to do it without fans, do it without fans, but play the game and make sure those student athletes are safe, which I think that they'll come up with a way to make sure that happens.
I agree. And NBA, you think the same thing, same kind of vibe here for the end of the season, right? Yeah.
And almost like it would be easier, right, to do a basketball game. There's less people involved. There's less staff. I mean, football, you're talking about 100 people on each sideline that you're trying to work with. But with basketball, if you've got 15 players and you've got kind of just your staff and you tell them you only get essential staff, you know, yeah. I think that could happen. You could have a tournament easily.
All right. I have to ask you this because you worked with Musburger for years and I love Musburger. Like in a weird world where you're playing a game where you have to come up with the best Brent Musburger story. Okay. And you win like $5 million. I am just looking for a story of Brent Musburger being Brent Musburger. Is there a Musburger go-to story for you without getting anyone in trouble?
Okay, we're in Clemson, South Carolina. Yes. The fact that it just rolls off my head.
Okay, and you have one.
Brent loves backyard. It's like they sell burgers, they sell hot dogs, and it's just like this little stand that you go to, and maybe they have smoothie or slushies or something like that. And so he's like, he wants backyard, and we have a police escort. We always get police escorts when you're with Brent. Like any other crew that I was ever with, I was like, oh God, wait, what? The police, they won't let us out of here? And if you're with Brent, you get a police escort. The police escort took us to backyard, okay, and sat there on the sidelines while our driver pulls up so that Brent and the, you know, the backseat passenger side could have a conversation, and he orders the food. And the person who's listening to him says, is this Brent Musburger? Has not seen his face. I swear to God, he hasn't seen his face. And he orders the entire meal. And he's like, well, yes, laddie, it is.
Laddie. Stanza, get Musburger on the show, okay?
Working on it.
And whoever took that order, get them on the show, too.
There are so many stories, but like I love that one. He went to Waffle House every Saturday before games, and he would come back. He would wear his Waffle House hat. Him and his son would go. I have been to Brent Musburger's house in Montana. I've done a game with Brent Musburger at Montana State, and it was like during the brush fires in Oregon. So imagine like this smoky, you know, it's like it's still pretty, but it's kind of smoky when you get to the games. He had maybe three houses on this huge prairie out there in Montana. He had a gym, and we're just like walking through, and he has a helmet from every single school, and the coaches have signed it. It's like a museum. Like, it is a museum. He could probably make people pay to go through his house if that was what he wanted to do.
All right.
He had it all over for a cookout. It was dope.
There's going to need to be a second engagement here because we're going to have to, okay, we're going to have a part two. We have 4 or 5 options for you. We need more Musburger stories. That place in Montana, by the way, he lives in the Gates community. Bill Gates, he lives in that city, right? What? My friend owns, and listen, I'm not, this is not a humble friend. My friend owns the community. And he told me Musburger had 3 houses in it.
There you go. I'm like, is it 3 houses on 1 plot of land or is it like they're spread out? I don't even know.
Wait, can you describe the house, the Montana house for us? Like
wraparound porch. Imagine a huge wraparound porch. There's nothing around it. Big old, I don't know if we're going to call it an oak tree right outside. So we could all eat outside. It was like you could have weddings there. It could be a bed and breakfast or it could just be someone's home. And it just happens to only be his home where him and his wife live. But he has a ton of grandkids, so like they're playing outside and hanging out. And he also has his sons, they have their own beer. So when you go, there's actually another building where you would go to watch games, which is kind of like his lion's den or whatever, and right. The beer on tap that they make, obviously.
Oh my God. Stanzik, I am telling you, get Musburger on the show, okay? They have asked me a million times to go on Brent's gambling show, and I have said, no, Stanzik, I'm telling you right now, if I have to do it, I will do it. If for no other reason... Well, if for no other reason to get him on Stupidity and then get an invite out to the house in Montana.
Okay. Yeah.
That is right. A good life goal for you.
It should be, right?
Yeah. No,
okay. Your life, your goal is getting the Art of Conversation. My goal is getting the Musburger's ass, okay?
I like it. And we are going to accomplish these goals, okay? As soon as you say that I can go outside at your press conference, I'm going to go out and pursue my goal.
All right, I want to get you out of here on this note. Again, check her out. She's everywhere. College Game Day, Sideline Reporting, NBA Countdown, at Maria Taylor on Twitter, on Instagram. Instagram is her preference, though. Listen, my the kids on my team, they are 16-year-old girls. You can handle this. One of them happens to be my daughter. Mm-hmm. You can handle this however you want. I am telling you, they are massive sports fans. My daughter, because of the nature of what it is I do for a living, she consumes ESPN like more than her dad does, okay? Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, okay, and I have never said this to anyone else, mm-hmm. you, Maria Taylor, she is the person, like, she wants to get into this business because of Maria Taylor. I am dead to, not Laura Rutledge, sorry, Laura, not Rossini, sorry, Rossini. Rossini's going to actually be pissed at me for that. So if Maria Taylor had some words of advice for a team of girls mm-hmm. who love her work, know of her athletic accomplishments and her professional accomplishments, who want to go play, want to go on to play college sports, mm-hmm. that message to them would be what? And I'm going to play it for them just so you know if it's okay. good. If it's bad, I'll erase it. We'll edit it. We'll throw it away forever. Yeah.
Never happened.
I'll just say she was drunk on tequila. That's
all. Right. It was weird. She brought a bottle of tequila out. But seriously, I would tell, especially a group of girls that plays lacrosse, you are at a serious advantage because lacrosse games are on TV. The ACC network broadcasts women's lacrosse. So don't think that you need to jump into football or basketball or all these other sports that maybe you would consider, you know, higher tier sports. I would go in and try to become the analyst at my school. I would be trying to do reports on my team or on the men's lacrosse team. Become an expert at your sport. Olympic sports are important. They matter. And that can be the way that you get all of the experience that you need, all of the tapes that you need to send off to an ESPN, to a Fox Sports later on down the line. And you're going to get comfortable in front of the camera talking about the sport that you know and love. And then that could translate to whatever you want to translate it to. But utilize all the time that you're putting into the sport, like all the time I put into volleyball, all the time I put into women's basketball, set me up for my career in broadcasting. And that's how they have to think about it.
That is awesome. A bottle of Patron is headed your way because you crushed this podcast and you agreed to come back. And I didn't even get to your dad being an FBI agent. I mean, how about that?
Listen. He wouldn't be proud of this, though.
Like, what, the bottle of tequila or stupidity? What?
Both.
Stupidity!
Stancic, she was, that exceeded every expectation. She was fantastic.
Dude, I told you, she's a rock star. If we legitimately were doing top five rising stars at ESPN, she's probably number one.
You don't think my list was legitimate? Like, because Mikey C's on it? I almost think we got to have Mikey C on just to get a reaction to Maria not knowing who he is. He is going, in fact, don't do it. Don't do it. No, it's a terrible idea. Do not do it. He is on such a high from the last episode. If we get observations, this, save it for the next week. Get observations. Okay.
Okay.
And, like, only Gojo should know about that. Then we'll spring it on. Okay. No, you were right. She is, listen, she's already a star.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I was blown away by, just the personality. And I think that's what, as we were telling her at the end there, that's what this podcast has become. It's allowing people to see ESPN personalities in a way that they don't see them because they're on television and none of this could come out. She can't talk about tequila on television, you know?
Yeah, that's something we talk about a lot. That's kind of what drew us both to radio is the free form nature of it. You've done TV shows. I've worked on TV shows. They're too scripted. There's not enough room to breathe. There's not enough room to just take a tangent and see where it goes. That's what you guys do in your radio show better than anybody. You don't know what you're going to do. And then you're doing a deep dive on 90s baseball players.
Yeah.
So that's why this platform, Stupidity, is just giving these ESPN personalities who are in these roles at ESPN on television, they're just beaming with personality, and this is a place for them to showcase it.
You mentioned earlier, it's just the way this podcast works, it's just open up the microphone and talk, right? And just things happen from there. I will tell you, easier said than done. Okay.
Oh yeah, of course.
The most important lesson I have done, this is going to sound so funny and simplistic to people, and I've told you this before, Stanzik, and he was on our podcast and he said the same thing. Dan Patrick, when I first started out in radio, and Lebatard and I asked him, what is the single most important thing about doing a good radio show? And he said, listen it. Just listen. Listen to what your producer is saying. Listen to what the guest is saying. Listen to what your co-host is saying. Don't say something and then think about what the next thing you're going to say is. Have a conversation. And if you're listening correctly, the conversation will naturally happen. And I know that sounds funny coming from a guy who's notorious for not listening, but in this environment, I think even you would agree, I listen very well. It's probably because Lebatard's not breathing down my neck sitting right next to me, you know? I don't put all the blame on Lebatard, but I'll put all the blame on Lebatard. Maybe I just don't want to listen to Lebatard. Hey, how's that sound? Well, I'll listen to Maria Taylor and Rutledge and Diana Rossini and Mikey C. And Mina. But Lebatard, I mean, it's not that I'm not listening. I don't want to listen. Keep it in. All of it. Stupidity.